Harris. I'm Nikki Strong, and this is VOA 1 The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Katie Weaver. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak slowly, and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the podcast, John Russell, Jill Robbins, and Gregory Stockel join us with stories about research into cancer treatments, a study of highly paid business leaders, and new study programs in climate change from American universities. Then, Ana Mateo and I discuss a phrase that comes from the world of horse racing in this week's Words and Their Stories. Now, here's John.
Reduced treatment for three kinds of cancer can make life easier for patients without hurting results, doctors reported recently at the world's largest cancer conference. The findings are part of a long-term move toward studying whether doing less surgery, chemotherapy, or radiation can help patients live longer and feel better. The latest studies involved ovarian and esophageal cancer and Hodgkin lymphoma. 30 years ago, cancer research was about doing more, not less. In one example, women with advanced breast cancer were pushed to the edge of death with large doses of chemotherapy and bone marrow transplants. The treatment did not work any better than chemotherapy, and patients suffered. Now, in an effort to improve cancer care, researchers are asking, do we need all that treatment that we have used in the past? It is a question that should be asked over and over again, said Dr. Tatiana Kolevska of the Kaiser Permanente National Cancer Excellence Program. Kolevska was not involved in the new research. Often, doing less works because of improved drugs. Dr. William G. Nelson of Johns Hopkins School of Medicine was also not involved in the new research. He said, "The good news is that cancer treatment is not only becoming more effective, it's becoming easier to tolerate and associated with less short-term and long-term complications." The term complications means to make a medical problem worse or to cause new medical problems to appear. Studies showing the effects of reduced treatments were discussed recently at an American Society of Clinical Oncology conference in Chicago. Here are a few key points. French researchers found that it is safe to avoid removing lymph nodes that appear healthy during surgery for advanced ovarian cancer. The study compared the results for 379 patients. Half had their lymph nodes removed, and half did not. After 9 years, there was no difference in how long the patients lived. Those with less extreme surgery had fewer complications, such as the need for blood transfusions. The research was financed by the National Institute of Cancer in France. A German study looked at 438 people with a kind of cancer of the esophagus that can be treated with surgery. Half received a common treatment plan that included chemotherapy and surgery on the esophagus, the tube that carries food from the throat to the stomach. Half got another treatment that includes radiation, too. Both techniques are considered standard. Which one patients can get depends on where they get treatment. After 3 years, 57% of those who got chemo and surgery were alive, compared to 51% of those who got chemo, surgery, and radiation. The German Research Foundation financed the study. A comparison of two chemotherapy treatments for advanced Hodgkin lymphoma found the gentler treatment was more effective for the blood cancer and caused fewer side effects. After 4 years, the gentler chemo kept the disease in control in 94% of people, compared to 91% of those who had the more powerful treatment. The trial included 1,482 people in 9 countries: Germany, Austria, Switzerland, the Netherlands, Denmark, Sweden, Norway, Australia, and New Zealand. The study was financed by Takeda Oncology, the maker of one of the drugs used in the gentler chemo that was studied. I'm John Russell.
The top leaders of the biggest U.S. companies had their pay increase by about 13% in 2023. Pay for workers at the same companies rose by only 4.1%. Those numbers come from the Associated Press, AP, and the financial research company Equilar. They compared pay for more than half of the chiefs of a list of top companies called the S&P 500 with other average workers at the same companies. At half of the companies that AP and Equilar studied, it would take the average worker almost 200 years to make what the chief executive officer made in 1 year. Company chiefs received pay gains as the U.S. economy showed strength in 2023. Over 20 of the company leaders received a pay increase of 50% or more. Kelly Malafis is one of the founders of Compensation Advisory Partners in New York City. The company advises businesses on what to pay their top leaders. Malafis said companies want to reward and keep their chiefs if they have a good leader in place. That all combined kind of leads to increased compensation, she said. Some of the leaders who had high compensation compared to average workers included Ted Sarandos of Netflix and Tim Cook of Apple. Cook's pay was over $63 million. For Sarandos, his pay was almost $50 million.
Sarah Anderson directs the Global Economy Project at the Institute for Policy Studies in Washington, D.C. She said, "The earnings gap leads to bad feelings about the American economy." She said many people are worried about inflation, the rising prices for things such as food, housing, and gasoline. In addition, she said, they're feeling the pain of inflation more because they're not seeing their wages go up enough. The study shows that a number of companies decided to link pay raises to company performance. As a result, the increases come in the form of stock awards that the leaders cannot sell for several years. Many of the pay packages prevent a stock sale unless the company reaches targets such as greater market value. Median stock awards went up 11% last year, while performance increases only rose 2.7%. The AP's study included the pay of 341 executives at companies in the S&P 500. Hock Tan of the software and semiconductor company Broadcom earned the most, about $162 million. His pay package includes a number of increases based on the company's stock price. He will get a number of bonuses if the price remains above $1,125 between October 2025 and October 2027. Another company leader, Elon Musk of Tesla, is in the middle of a legal case related to his pay. Musk wants the company's shareholders to restore a pay package that was restricted by a judge in Delaware.
Some workers in clothing or food stores make very little money. In some cases, they do not work full-time. One clothing seller in the U.S. is Ross Stores. Its leader is Barbara Rentler. She made $18.1 million last year. Some part-time workers make less than $9,000. Research shows that during the 40 years after the end of World War II, executives earned about 40 to 50 times more than their employees. After the 1980s, the compensation structure started to change. Brandon Reese is a deputy director for the AFL-CIO, a group of labor unions. Reese said, "The current pay ratio signals a sort of a winner-take-all culture, that companies are treating their CEOs as, you know, superstars, as opposed to team players." Even with the criticism, shareholders usually approve the pay deals. Most shareholder votes between 2019 and 2023 showed nearly 90% approval. Even if the vote shows shareholders are not happy with the executive's pay, the company's board can overrule the shareholders. That is what happens in most cases. However, investors rejected the pay deal for Netflix's top leaders. That resulted in the media company making some changes. Top leaders Sarandos and Greg Peters will be paid in 2024 with stock that has restrictions about when it can be sold. Anderson from the Institute for Policy Studies said the pay votes can be helpful because they shine a light on pay that is too much. However, she said, the votes do not result in big changes most of the time. The pay study also gave information about women CEOs. In 2023, the top paid female CEO was Lisa Su of the computer chip maker AMD. She received just over $30 million in compensation. Other top earners were Mary Barra of carmaker General Motors, Jane Fraser of bank group Citigroup, and Kathy Warden of defense company Northrop Grumman. They earned between $23 million and $28 million in 2023. Overall, the pay for female leaders went up 21%, while the pay for men went up 12%. I'm Dan Friedel.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
Colleges and universities in the United States are increasingly creating climate change study programs. They are meeting the demand from students who want to help find ways to deal with the effects of climate change. Kathy Jacobs is director of the University of Arizona Center for Climate Adaptation Science and Solutions, which launched 10 years ago. She said, lots of centers and departments have renamed themselves or been created around these climate issues. The aim, she added, is to appeal to students and professors. Students are increasingly interested in climate-related study programs. For some, the interest comes from seeing the effects of climate change in their own lives. For others, a rise in climate-related jobs is driving their interest, experts say. In the last 4 years, schools like Stanford University and the Massachusetts Institute of Technology have started climate-related studies. The University of Texas at Austin plans to have climate studies offerings in the fall. And Hampton University, a private, historically Black university in Virginia, is building one now. Columbia University in New York City opened its climate school in 2020. It offers graduate degrees now and is working on creating undergraduate programs. Other schools that have created climate-related education programs include the University of Washington, Yale University, and Utah State University. In these programs, students study the science of climate change. The offerings require professors who teach biology, chemistry, physics, and social sciences, among others. But students also study ways to communicate about climate change with the public. They look at the ways communities can prepare and deal with climate change before it worsens. And they learn about the roles lawmakers and businesses play in cutting greenhouse gases. When colleges and universities put their programs together, they often use existing meteorology and atmospheric science studies. But climate studies need to go beyond those departments to satisfy some incoming students. In Kennebunk, Maine, high school student Will Eagleson has lived through storms that caused coastal destruction. The sea level is rising in his hometown. As the 17-year-old considers college, he said he is looking for schools that offer more climate change-focused programs. He added that he is looking for climate study programs that go beyond the usual earth and environmental study programs. Lucia Everest is a student at Adena High School in Minnesota. She said she wants to attend a program that goes deeper into the effects that climate change can have on human populations. She noted that climate change is especially affecting minority populations and poorer neighborhoods. Everest, who is 18, said she only applied to programs that had course offerings on the social effects of climate change. Many American colleges and universities are losing students and public financial support. This is pushing them to offer new programs that interest students. They hope that offering such programs will bring more students and more money. John Knox is an undergraduate coordinator for the University of Georgia's Atmospheric Sciences program. He is considering whether the school should offer a climate certificate. Knox said colleges and universities do have to pay attention to consumer demand when making decisions about courses they offer. But he added, "In the end, I'm worried more about our students succeeding than marketing something to somebody." I'm Gregory Stockel.
And now, words and their stories from VOA Learning English. At the start of this program, we usually share the expression or idiom we are going to talk about. We do this right out of the gate, so that listeners know what to expect. Out of the gate means the very start of something, like an audio program. Some people are really good at starting things, whether it is planning a fun family reunion or a serious work-related project. They are strong right out of the gate. Other people may be slow out of the gate. They take their time getting started, but they may be strong finishers. So out of the gate means the very beginning of something. We can also say at the outset. Here is an example. As soon as I signed up for an online class, I had trouble with technology. I couldn't get logged in. I forgot my password. And then my computer crashed. I had so many technical issues right out of the gate. I had problems at the outset, or at the very beginning of the class. This expression comes from sports or activities that involve holding animals behind a gate until it is time to start. With horse racing, dog racing, and bull riding, the animals all wait behind a gate. When I was a child, my parents often took me to horse races. The horses were behind a gate as they waited to start the race. As soon as they were out of the gate, the race had started. That's also when my parents would start yelling. Right out of the gate, they would yell for their horse to win. In English, we have other similar expressions. Word experts say that the expression right off the bat is from baseball, cricket, or another sport where a bat is involved. The batter hits the ball is in play, and the actions of the other players begin. They are more or less waiting for that ball to be hit before they have something to do. So if something happens right off the bat, it happens as soon as something starts. Another similar expression is from the get-go. When we say from the get-go, we are also talking about the start of something. Here's an example using that one. Let's say you start a new job. It's important to make a good first impression from the get-go. On your first day, you want to be on time and ready to work. As we like to say, you don't get a second chance to make a first impression. And that's all the time we have for this Words and Their Stories. Until next time, I'm Anna Mateo.
I'm Dan Friedel, and you're listening to the Learning English Podcast. Now, usually I start with an introduction in this part of the program, but I'm going to get right into this week's topic right out of the gate. What do you think about that, Anna?
Well, Dan, if you get into our weekly conversation right out of the gate, you might confuse some listeners who just joined us. They may not know what we're talking about because we started quickly.
I can see your point there, Anna.
So let's rewind. Let's go backward for 1 second. This week, we are talking about some English phrases that have to do with starting things, maybe a work project or a race, any kind of action.
Well, that's why I jumped right out of the gate without an introduction. I wanted to make the point about starting something.
Well, hold your horses, Dan. We'll get to that in a second.
Okay. I'll slow down. By the way, I think right out of the gate and hold your horses might be related.
You are right. Before you have a horse race, you need to bring the horses into the starting gate. But if you have ever seen a horse race, you can see that the horse riders or jockeys sometimes have a nervous horse. So you might hear a race official say, "Hold your horses." This is a way of telling the jockeys to keep the horses calm and under control. But in a horse race, that happens before the gates open and the race begins. Some horses get off to a good start right out of the gate. That can be the difference between coming in first and coming in second or even last. And in the world of horse racing, that can be costly.
Well, last can be costly for sure. Even second, if your parents had bet money on the horse to win, that can be costly too.
You're right, Dan. But sometimes their horse would win and it would be really exciting.
What do you remember about when the horses would win?
Oh my gosh, I have a wonderful story. I found an old ticket on the ground at the horse racing betting place. And I told my mom, "Mom, this horse is a winner. Bet it." And she saw the numbers. The horse race was already over, but she bet the same numbers. I believe they were 3, 4, 7. Those were the horse's numbers. And guess what? It came in 3, 4, 7, and she won $10,000.
No way.
Yes, I was like a golden child after that. It didn't happen again, but for that day, I felt very special.
Yeah. Well, hey, let's talk about another term you mentioned in this week's Words and Their Stories. You mentioned the phrase right off the bat.
Well, I like to include similar expressions and phrases, especially if they are from the same type of world, like sports or outdoor activities. And right off the bat is such a common expression. We use it very frequently. We use it in any situation. And it means the same thing. It basically means right at the beginning of something, at the outset.
This week has been fun for me because our listeners know I always enjoy talking about sports phrases. So one of those is step up to the plate or step up to bat when we're discussing someone getting an opportunity to prove themselves.
I love that expression. I have not used step up to the plate, and I will definitely use that in another Words in Their Stories. I also love baseball and playing softball. And often, Dan, I think you would agree, we tell someone, "Hey, it's your time to step up to the plate. It's your time to take some initiative."
This conversation makes me think about that we should ask our listeners to contribute to the program. They should write in and tell us about some of the words that they use in their language that are similar to the ones that we've been discussing today. So you can send us a message on Facebook, Instagram, or at learningenglish@voanews.com.
That's a brilliant idea. And also, if they have an English expression or idiom that they are curious about or want us to talk about, share that too, and we can write a story about it and then talk about it.
Crowdsourcing at its best. I think that'll be fun.
I just gave you a thumbs up, Dan.
I think that'll be fun. You know, we'll get out of the gate in one of the upcoming episodes with a new topic, but then we could cap off the show with a message from one of our listeners. I'm excited about this idea.
Yeah, and I always love learning expressions from other countries, other cultures, other languages. That's so much fun. Maybe if we get a listener who gives us an idea, we can also say their name on the air and welcome them on the program.
For sure. I think that's a great plan. Well, Anna, right out of the gate, this is a great conversation this week, but sadly, all things must come to an end. Thanks, Anna.
That's a wrap, Dan, but I'll talk to you soon.
That's all the time we have for today's Learning English podcast. Thanks to all our VOA colleagues for their help on the program.
Most importantly, thank you for listening. I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Dan Friedel.